Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
Two. And welcome to a lively episode of
Conclave Radio!
I'm Casey, and I love my job.
I'm Greg, and I have too many jobs to choose my favorite.
Well, you know, sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing.
I'm going to view it as a good thing. Eternal optimist.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, for those of you who are listening to the introduction, and also those of you who are watching, hello, there's only two of us. Again, this isn't
the best two.
This isn't the first time it's happened.
No.
But that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing at all.
It internally upsets me and makes me sad because I miss our fellow co-hosts.
You know, it's
but
one of those things
okay
you deal
with. It's okay because we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
I'm glad that you came, Greg. Otherwise, it would be just me. And as much as I know the audience wants that...
Everybody wants more cakes.
Exactly. Well, today they can get it.
Today you get a double dose.
All 100% of our listeners. Speaking of, that goes into stats. I finally checked our stats again.
Yeah? And?
100% of our listeners are from the United States.
And I bet most of them are from Alabama.
There's actually a couple from Alaska, so we're still good.
Hey!
Hello, Alaskan listeners.
Hello, Alaskan listener.
Yeah, but most of them
are... Open parentheses, S, close parentheses.
Yes. Most of them are around the Birmingham area, obviously, that
yeah,
makes
obviously.
Sense, but it's cool. There's a couple from Virginia, a couple from Tennessee. You know.
That's cool.
So we're national.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty good.
Hey, and as long as we're outside the contiguous
that's true.
48, technically, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
We're continental.
That is post-Russian territory.
Hey, that technically counts.
Exactly.
So you can see Russia from Alaska.
That's true.
So
we're basically international. We're all over the globe.
So if you live in Alaska, share it with your Filipino friends.
Absolutely. Hi san to them. Tell them hi san. That's not
Filipino. That's Norwegian.
No,
it's Scandinavian. Norwegian. Yeah, it's Norwegian.
Hi san?
Hi san. Yeah.
We'll look it up later.
We're going to look it up later. For anyway, right now, we'll just say welcome to all of you.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of Conclave Radio. I believe this is episode... 23, I believe.
Of season two.
Wow. That means, right, if I were to count them all up, about 55 episodes worth of Conclave Radio, which
that's
you can
cool.
go listen to on any type of podcast broadcasting station.
Yep.
And as much as I'd love for you to listen to every single episode, stick to season two for now, because season one was a little rough.
Well, it's
I mean,
it's good to
it's
have as a comparison
great.
Because then you
it's,
can really you can hear
you can
the
get
difference.
A lot of good info from it. But, you know,
yeah,
we compare it a lot.
Yeah.
Just wait till season three.
Season what three is going to be amazing. Hashtag virtual reality.
Wow.
We're going to set high goals.
Video. We're going to have the camera in the middle of the table.
The little fisheye camera.
Look around wherever they want.
That'd be awesome.
One day. One day when we have a budget.
Yeah. You know. If you like and share enough, maybe we can get enough people to where we can actually get some advertising dollars.
You know what? Let's start a Patreon. Might as well. And then we can add, we can like record an extra 10 minutes outside of this to whoever pays. Boom!
There you
million
go.
Dollar idea. Well,
or
you know,
we could take this upstairs and we could actually record Conclave U. And then people at Patreon get a snippet of Conclave U.
That's an extra like... hour and a half's worth of
but we have to get rid of some of it, you know, like the bickering about tattoos.
Shoot, that's on the show. Might as well leave it.
We get rid of that, we lose like 2 hours worth of content.
That's just a 10-minute video of Clint talking from paper.
Which we love.
Which we do enjoy Clint Johnson. And we would enjoy him more if he could make it to Conclave Radio, but it's okay. He's got, you know, believe it or not, Clint Johnson has a life.
Outside of Conclave.
Outside of Conclave and Conclave Radio. It's hard to imagine.
I don't believe it.
You don't?
I don't believe it.
Well, it's, you know, that easy family to believe and that job, I don't have a life outside of church, honestly. I'm always here. Which I love, though. It's what I want.
It is. It's a good thing.
To where I want to be, so. Well, I'm a jack of all trades when it comes to this. So. Not to brag. I'm sorry. Anyway.
You know, it's interesting. Jack of all trades, people think that that's jack of all trades, master of none. Like, that's the common catchphrase.
Master of none?
It originally started out as jack of all trades, master of one, was the way the phrase originally started out.
How does that work?
Well, you know, if somebody's really good at one thing, it trickles off into all the others. If you're really good at learning one particular skill, you end up teaching yourself how to learn. Because you have to learn that particular skill. So, if you've become a master of something, you've obviously learned how to learn. So, if you apply that to other things, you can take on more skills.
Well, yeah, I never have thought about it that way. I mean, that's how I've always pictured it, the master of none. Like, that's how I kind of see myself. I'm okay at everything.
But you're very, very good at something. Everybody is very good at something.
If I were to, I would say drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, you are really good at drawing.
Thank you.
Although, I think you're better at social interaction.
Really?
Yeah.
It's possible.
You're a little butterfly. As long as you're not being forced to be.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Like, I'll go out there before and after the show.
Yep.
And I will... I'm a nomad. I talk to literally everyone in the room. And then I get in here and the mic, it's like, you gotta think about what you're saying.
I know. You can't misspeak. Yep.
Since we're comparing season one, I almost never spoke.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was a lot of Clint Johnson.
There was a lot of Clint Johnson.
Yeah.
If you listen, it's basically him speaking. He's like, what do you think, Casey? I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's it.
Although, to be fair, it's a lot harder to speak when you're in a different room. Like the calling in and that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, we ended up, since we're reminiscing, might as well. For all of you new listeners and viewers, what we used to do, we used to call in, then we actually started paying money.
Yeah.
And then I would meet him at his house.
Yep.
Horrible acoustics, by the way.
Yeah.
And his computer. That was before we actually moved to Spreaker. And, I mean, it was still the same thing. Yeah, I agree. But with a dog in the background.
It's a little bit easier, though, when you're in the same room to have that, instead of it just being, yeah, I agree, it's, yeah, like there's a connection there between both of you.
When you add another person, like when we had guests, it's way easier to talk.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have more people involved, it's way easier to talk, especially in, like, I guess an entertainment aspect like this. Yeah. It's way easier to involve yourself in conversation. And then, the more you do it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. That's how I've learned how to learn. The more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yep.
Like,
that'll preach.
Absolutely. And that's...
Wow.
Might as well go into a lesson with that. Like prayer. The more you do it, the better you get. And that's true. That's actually 100% true because...
Evangelism. The more you do it, the better you get.
That's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I used to not... I used to never pray out loud.
Yeah.
And then through recent events...
You've been kind of forced to.
Yeah, in a way, learn. I've been kind of forced to, but also I've been making myself.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it out loud during a small group is one of those things, you know, where you're praying and you go, and, amen. And everyone's like, good job, buddy. You know.
The one that Leslie loves, and she counts it every time. Is our particular tribe, there are a lot of people that as they pray, they have a particular word they use, like Father or God or Lord. Or, and when they have a break, instead of just being silent for a second in their prayer, they fill it in with Lord God, Father God.
Lord God?
Yeah, Lord God. There's some that...
Our Father.
And so she'll count them. And I can sit there watching her listening to somebody pray. Okay. And I can watch her, like, touching her fingertips as she's counting.
This actually happened recently. I guess the kids were upstairs.
Yep.
During family worship or whatever was happening. And I'm not going to name names.
Well, yes.
But my little brother counted how many times the person on stage said
yeah.
But we didn't know. Like we're all just paying attention, like we usually do. And he comes up, he said it 37 times.
Yeah.
We were like, what? So now that's not all I do. But you know, I'm counting now every time I'm listening to him.
Well, and that's something that we were taught. Well, Leslie and I were both taught in undergrad, but especially we got really good at in graduate school, which makes it easier for me to pray out loud, is I was taught how to speak in front of a group. And one of the things people will do is you practice, and the practice is more for you to get rid of your little foibles, like saying or you know, or whatever those words
whatever
are
those
that you fall to.
Yeah.
And so somebody will call you out on it. And
that's one thing I've really tried to avoid in my...
In
speech classes?
Yeah. Really? You've tried to avoid having to public speak in
class?
Well,
I took a Communications 101 class last semester, and at the very end of the class there was a speech. It was about a non-profit organization, and I used Darren's Refuel.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good. I was really confident in it. I got a B on it. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the only thing I've had to do.
Public speaking is something that most people don't get a lot of experience at. It's really hard to do if you don't try.
Well, something that I've also noticed is that a lot more people do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even talking about interviews. I'm actually pretty decent at interviews. But, like, as an arts major, you know, I have a presentation at the end of the semester with all my artworks, and they're going to be asking questions like, so what does this represent? And you got to be ready to, like, speak in front of, you know, a group of professors.
Right.
Judges and stuff. So
a group of knowledgeable individuals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think, like, speaking in front of people, like, I think that's more common than people think.
They just work themselves up because they don't think they do it very often.
If you really don't want to, you just become a YouTuber and speak into a mic like we do.
Although, we're technically public speaking.
It's true. But since we don't actually see all the eyes and all the ears listening to us, it's way easier.
It is kind of easier.
It is. And it's easier because you're here, Greg. Aww. That's something you're very good at, is being a social butterfly. It's true. No, because actually, didn't we both, like, in our personality test, weren't we both, like, extroverted with our top number? That would make sense. That's why we're best friends, everyone.
Most people would not
Don't tell Blake.
Picture me as an introvert, but I actually am an introvert. I just always test extroverted because I am an extroverted introvert.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone needs their free time.
Yeah. So,
I mean, there's a couple classes where I don't speak to anyone.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Well.
That's fine.
Sometimes you need to be quiet. Sometimes you need to think, be introspective.
And it's the 8 a.m. classes.
No, yeah.
So
it's hard to be fully functional at an 8 a.m. class.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad my 8 a.m. class is animating on a computer, so all I got to do is click buttons.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I did have a computer class at 8 a.m. one time, and I thought it would be really easy, and then about halfway through the semester I realized I really don't want to come in here and do this at 8 o'clock in the morning. And, like, when we got to, like, heavy Excel spreadsheets and complicated programming, I'm like, oh, this sucks.
That's where coffee was necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't
I'm
go to sleep
that.
Early enough in
I'm
the,
afraid of that.
That morning.
I got to rely on 8 a.m. though, because what I do is I take my schedule early in the morning so I can go to work right after.
Right.
And it stinks, but whatever.
There's a lot of people that don't work through college, and I think they miss out on some things because, like, they'll take all 10, 11, and 12 o'clock classes, so they don't have to wake up until 9, and they don't have to do anything after 1 o'clock.
I don't see how you can't work during college.
A lot of people don't.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, if you live on campus and you have unlimited meal plans, you know, more power to you, but...
Or if you take out student
loans. As a commuter who... does stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need it.
Yeah.
I gotta work.
Yeah. That
I'd go
money.
Crazy if I didn't.
Yeah. But
since we've been reminiscing on the past so much, I think it's a that's an interesting segue into what we want to talk about this week. We were going to talk about something that Blake discussed in Conclave View, but he's gone. It's okay. We forgive him.
We miss you, Blake.
We miss you. I hope you're having a great time wherever you are. we are going to talk about the past of Paul.
Which is what Clint was speaking about on Sunday.
Which we discussed at the past Conclave. So if you could say this is a little taste of Conclave for all you who haven't experienced it. I shouldn't be touching that.
It's okay. It's off.
Okay, cool. And if you like what you hear, please come to the next Conclave or Conclave View and you can experience some more.
Well, not the next Conclave View because the next Conclave View is in like an hour.
And we're not even going to be upstairs.
But
speaking of Blake and Conclave, this upcoming Sunday, just a little advertisement for everyone right now, since I'm talking about it. This upcoming Sunday, Blake is going to be leading us.
Which is going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. I've read over some of his notes. Really? And it's going to be a really good service.
Cool.
I'm excited.
I like Blake.
Anyway,
I like Blake as a public speaker. I think he does a good job. He does a much better job than I think he gives himself credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting how he does it. Because, like, he as someone who works next to him all the time, you know, he seems like an introvert.
Yeah.
But he definitely has some of those extrovert qualities that he oversees.
He makes you feel really comfortable.
He does.
He makes you feel like when he's teaching a class or a lesson or something, it's more of a communication and a conversation between you and him for each person. Rather than some people are really bad about when they're teaching a class, it's everybody's listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no back and forth, give and take. I think he's really good at opening up the floor for people.
I think that's the best way to learn, too, is actually be involved.
Yeah.
Hence, the more you do it, the better you get.
The more you do it, the better you get.
The more you say it, the easier you learn it.
Yeah.
Paul's past.
So,
we have a few scriptures from Acts. Yep. I think there was one from Timothy, but I don't know if we got it.
It is, 1 Timothy 1, and then Acts 7,
oh, do you have
8, and 13. Timothy? I do have 1 Timothy.
Okay, awesome. Now, so the scriptures mostly talk about what Paul did in his time, when he was formerly known as Saul, and how he changes from Saul to Paul, and how he uses his past to use his past in the future.
Yeah.
If you want to go ahead and read that first scripture, I think it was Acts 7?
Oh, yeah, Acts 7, 54 through 60.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, when they heard these things, they were enraged in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled by the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they screamed at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed against him. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They were stoning Stephen as he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And saying this, he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the...
That was the opener for the lesson.
Yep. And it was one of the first times that Saul is mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think he went into Acts 8.
He did.
Because Acts 8 starts with, "Saul agreed with putting him to death. On that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria." So that was the kind of the opener.
That the opener to Saul's life.
Yeah.
And what kind of person he was.
Right.
What was the first point he made?
Paul had a past.
Yeah.
So that was Paul's past. Is Paul's past before he was Paul?
He was Saul.
He was Saul,
and he
was okay with stoning Stephen, the first martyr, the first person that died, obviously after Jesus.
Right.
The first person that died as a Christian, however you want to phrase it, the first Christian martyr. Saul was the one that was like, "Yep. Take him out. Take him down.
So
heretic."
We used that point to point out that we all have a past.
Yeah.
We may not all have been, Christian killers. We may not all have been a Saul.
Right.
But we all have a past.
We might all have murdered somebody, yeah. But you've all done something.
We have experiences that we may not be proud of.
Yeah.
And that aren't good. Or even, I think he even said, like, our past may be our present right now.
Yeah.
We may not
we may
have
still
had
be
that
struggling through our past, yeah.
But everyone has that kind of, that moment in their life or that era in their life where they're lost, basically.
Yeah, where they're doing something they know they or they one day find out they shouldn't have been, mm-hmm. or you know they get convicted about. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got that thing that they that causes either themselves or others pain.
Right.
And
what was that? And the next point? I'm sorry, I would be looking at it, but
yeah. And which that led into our past is painful.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that Clint didn't have enough time because, I mean, he was really...
Right.
I mean, he was booking it through, but one of the things that jumped out to me was when Paul started going around after he became Paul, that was every place he went. The church, the Christians saw him and immediately reacted out of, oh, no, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And they would recoil back, and it's even in Acts.
He was
a story of him going to a church.
The horrible,
right.
Known as Saul.
Right.
Like he had, sometimes radio shows, you can't even think of the words you want to use. But he had this persona about
right.
him that people knew as horrible,
yeah.
a painful person who, you know.
Dragged women and children out in the streets.
Exactly.
And yeah, he was just.
It was obvious.
Right.
And that led into his next point, which I believe was. Was it your past does not prevent, or...
Oh, no, it was Paul's past served a purpose.
Oh, perfect. Let's see here.
Which,
Yes. Okay, now,
yeah.
Now I know. Now I know that I'm looking at it. So Paul's past served a purpose. So he used his past. He
right.
used this transition from Saul to Paul...
to display the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
To show off what God can do. Even though he had a past, and even though his past was painful, and even though it caused problems for him, he was able to use it for God's purposes.
He used it as an example.
Right.
And he used all his knowledge of who he was to transform him into someone who he should be. And I'm trying to... Okay. And then he used this scripture, which I believe was... Here, you go ahead. It was the fourth one on there. You know how to work it. I'm going to trust you with it. And this verse is interesting because it was the first verse in the Bible where he's referred to as Paul instead of Saul through that transition.
Yeah, that's Acts 13.
Acts 13, 9 through 12.
9 through 12.
Then Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at the sorcerer and said, "You son of the devil, full of the deceit and all fraud, enemy of all righteousness. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You are going to be blind and will not see the sun for a time." Suddenly a mist and darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand.
Then the proconsul, so that's the governor of that area. Yeah.
Ah. Then the proconsul, seeing what happened, believed and was astonished at the teaching about the Lord.
And so one of the things that Clint pointed out immediately on that was that it says, also called Paul, immediately it goes into filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's
the biggest part. It points out his transition where,
yep.
like, the Saul to Paul,
yeah.
that moment in everyone's life. And from then on, he used his past for his purpose.
Right.
And that goes into we can use our past for a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, we all have a purpose, and we can use our experiences, you know, like testimonies.
Yeah.
This is the best example. Giving our testimonies out to others so they can make the right decisions and not make the mistakes we did.
And I think that's one of the things that especially in the past, I'd say 10 to 15 years, the church, Big C, corporate,
yes,
universal, has done really well, that at least our church and many like it have always done, is focusing on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That filling of the Holy Spirit is the power by which you are able to use your testimony. That being filled with the Holy Spirit is very important, because I can go out with words to speak, but if they're just my words, they can't accomplish much.
Absolutely.
But
anyone can speak the word.
Yeah.
But
whoever the Holy Spirit uses the word to accomplish his goals.
Mm-hmm. And that he went on to the next point, which is people love your past.
Yeah.
Which got a lot of people, because as soon as he said that, I'm pretty sure everyone thought of at least one person. There are going to be people in your life, and there were people in Paul's, who will bring back those experiences and bad memories.
I wrote down the quote from Clint.
Mm-hmm.
People that when people don't like who you've become,
yep,
they'll point out who you used to be.
Yep.
They'll
bring and it's up usually through jealousy, yeah. I believe. Yep. I remember what he said.
Yep.
And the room went, ooh, you know?
And everybody knew that that's true. Like, everybody's experienced that at least once, where somebody doesn't like that how you've grown.
Some people will pull you back. Yep. And there will be challenges in your life from your transition from Paul from Saul to Paul.
Don't go from Paul to Saul,
please. Someone pulled you back if that happened. There's going to be challenges. And it's not just going to be people either.
No.
There are going to be temptations.
And the enemy loves to remind you of your past.
Everything. Yeah. Everything in your life now to pull you back.
Yeah.
And that's just, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit,
then you're able to say, yes, that so was easy who I to was.
Deny. Yeah. Yeah. And stick with who you are.
Yeah.
And that goes into the last point. Our past doesn't prevent.
Yeah.
Like, for people who have the mindset of, I was this person, who am I to, you know, who am I to be this new minister to the people? And go ahead.
Yeah, who am I to do X, Y, or Z job?
The Lord's work, or this or that, because of who I was and what I did. And something that stuck out to me, you or people in this world have a hard time of forgetting the past, but God just throws it out. He doesn't care. He's not really worried about the past or even the future, but he's really worried about the present and who you are now, and that's what matters. And that's what stuck out to me.
And who he's making you into be.
And yes.
Yeah.
So he is looking at the future, but
right
now is what he's focused on. And I think that's really awesome to hear, you know, God doesn't care about who you were.
Yeah.
That's the past.
And it always makes me think of the saying, the enemy knows your name and calls you by your sin, but God knows your sin and still calls you by your name. So God knows what we've done, but he still calls us by the name he gave us, what he's making us into. The enemy knows who we are and who we're becoming, but he wants to call us by what we used to be, because he wants us to stay back there. He doesn't want to see us grow into what God has destined for us.
Absolutely.
So.
And then we went on to 1 Timothy 1:12-16 says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. One who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life.
Yeah.
And I think that's more relatable than people think.
Oh,
yeah. He was the worst of the sinners.
Yeah.
He killed Christians. But yet he knows that Christ Jesus can use him as an example and as a minister.
And you know, if there's anybody that could claim, and this is a conversation I was having that I was telling you about earlier,
mm-hmm.
A conversation I was having earlier this week, I was talking to somebody who said, you know, I'm always afraid that I've committed the unforgivable sin, that I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And they said, you know, and I say that because there was a time where I looked up and I said, you know, God, I hate you. I intentionally blaspheme the Trinity because I know you're not real. And I, you know, they were like, can I ever be saved? I said, well, you know, we talked about it. I said, so the thing is, I think in our unbelief, we can do things mm-hmm. that we think, oh, I have all this power. I can push God away. But God doesn't get pushed away easily. You know,
or at all.
Yeah. If you turn to him, any person, doesn't matter, the chief of sinners, obviously Paul says it, I was the chief of them. Mm-hmm. All it takes is us turning to him. All it takes is us wanting God's presence, and he immediately turns to us and forgives all of our sins, all of our past.
No matter what sin.
No matter.
Whatever blasphemy.
What you've done can't overcome what Jesus did. The cross overcomes all things.
Absolutely. Let's give it up for Clint Johnson.
Woo! You made it just in time.
The whole lesson, but man, it's totally good. We were talking about Paul's past, but we ended up. You ended up a really good time, yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to listening to it.
I think it was good. I think it was a good episode.
It was okay.
It was okay. I mean, it was great because it was me and Greg.
Of course.
Didn't
have all the dead weight.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. We could go into it, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
We didn't even need a piece of paper printed out.
Wow.
Ooh.
I know.
I mean, y'all were listening really good, apparently too.
Or, no, well, we
it's
had
easy.
Notes.
It's easy when there's not two people talking about tattoos the whole time. But it's okay. Well, now that we hit 30 minutes, I think it's a great way to end the show and tell all the audience about how they can find us.
I think you should, Casey. Tell the audience how they can follow us.
I will, Greg. Well, if you're in the metropolitan Birmingham area, you can find us at Metropolitan Church of God. Every Sunday night at 6 o'clock for Conclave. Come early for the food. Stay for the lesson. This upcoming Sunday, like we said earlier in the show, Blake Cook is giving a little lesson, and I know it's going to be awesome. And if not, you can always come to Conclave View on Wednesday nights at the same place. I don't know what we're going to talk about next, but I know it's going to be great discussion. There's always good discussion, and even more people are coming every week. Indeed.
Yeah.
And if you can't, you can always come to Metropolitan Church of God every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Pastor Jason Browning has been killing it in the sermons.
Bring in the word, faux show.
And you can find us in the Conclave Row in the sanctuary.
Which is moving in the right direction.
It is. We're moving closer forward to the stage. Moving forward. But if you can't, that's okay. We are all over social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Please give us a like, a share, a comment, a subscribe, follow, whatever you can do. Don't forget Conclave Radio's on Instagram if you want to see some of our cast pictures, which
yep.
I need to post more of.
Yep.
I should
we'll take
find
one tonight
content.
Of the two of you, since it was really
that's a great
two.
Idea.
I'll take one of the two of you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Conclave Radio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Twitter.
iTunes, Spotify.
We need you to subscribe.
Oh, I want to let you know, Clint Johnson, I actually looked at our stats recently.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell Merkin.
You.
100% of our listeners are Merkin.
Oh, we've lost our international.
It's
payroll.
Okay. We have an Alaskan listener.
Oh, well, that's all that
And we
matters.
Figured that since from Alaska you can see Russia.
Close enough.
Yeah, we're basically international.
So there's Russian collusion even.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure the Russians have heard of us. They just haven't gotten to
gotcha.
Clicking on the Conclave
it's
Radio
just a
logo
of time.
Yet. It's a matter of time. We're gonna go international. We're gonna get there. Hi, yeah. We told them to say hi, son, to our
of course.
Older friends.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think that wraps us up. I think we've managed to have a pretty good episode.
I can't wait for you to listen to it, Mr. Clint Johnson.
I'm going to listen to it tonight, and then I'll share it on our other social media so we can get the audio portion out quick.
You yep. heard it. You have no excuse not to
That's
listen.
Right.
Yep.
Listen to it in the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's actually what I was doing last week on the way to Montevallo because I've got an hour drive, and I was like, you know what? I've got three conclaves to listen to,
yeah.
and so I put it on double speed and sat there and listened to all
three. Nice. Yes. I do listen to it on Thursday mornings on the way to Montevallo.
Yeah,
it's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's a great ending to a fantastic episode 23 of
Conclave Radio!
Presents an evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy Power Up Your Summer Sweepstakes, you could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.